gebe für euch wirklich mein maximal Bestes, immer wieder spannende Leute in den Podcast zu holen. Und ihr habt euch in den letzten Kommentaren gewünscht, dass ich mal mehr Interviews durchführe. Denn es gibt zwar einige Interviews hier im Podcast, aber die meisten Folgen sind Solo-Folgen. Und hier habe ich jetzt wirklich für dich jemanden rangeholt, der ein sehr krasses Standing in der Modelindustrie hat. Vor allem hier in den USA. Es ist ein sehr, sehr bekannter Agent aus den USA für diverse Models, die schon sehr tolle Karrieren erreicht haben. Und ich habe mit ihm gesprochen, hauptsächlich über die High-Fashion-Industrie. Das heißt, wenn du gerne mal High-Fashion-Model werden möchtest oder du interessierst dich für diese Branche, das ist eine Podcast-Folge, die du hören musst. Aber sie ist nicht ganz uninteressant, auch für unsere Commercial-Models, denn er hat auch den ein oder anderen Satz über Commercial-Models geäußert und über die Commercial-Model-Industrie. Dennoch, die hauptsächliche Podcast-Folge und der hauptsächliche Inhalt ist über High Fashion. Bedeutet für dich, nicht alles, was er hier erzählt, kannst du auf die gesamte Modelindustrie beziehen, denn die High Fashion-Welt, und das sage ich euch ja wirklich sehr oft, hat sehr spezielle, sehr, sehr strenge Standards. Diese Standards gelten aber nicht für die gesamte Modelindustrie und für alle Nischen, sondern lediglich für die High Fashion-Nische. Bedeutet für dich im Umkehrschluss, bitte genieße diese Podcast-Folge mit Bedacht. Das heißt jetzt nicht, dass du dir denken musst, toll, ich kann kein Model werden, ich habe nicht die Voraussetzungen, die er nennt, ich passe dort überhaupt nicht rein, dann hänge ich jetzt meine Karriere an den Nagel. Nein, bitte nicht, denn es kann einfach sein, dass du nicht in die High-Fashion-Industrie passt. Und das ist total okay. Ich passe auch nicht in die High-Fashion-Industrie und arbeite trotzdem sehr, sehr erfolgreich und hauptberuflich als Model. Zieh dir die Informationen raus, hör dir an, was er zu sagen hat. Es ist super, super spannend. Wir haben zu gewissen Dingen einfach auch eine unterschiedliche Meinung. Wir hatten auch ein Vorgespräch und ein Nachgespräch, was super, super toll war und auch einfach spannend, seine Sichtweise zu hören, vor allem, weil er eine sehr, sehr große Expertise hat in Bezug auf den USA-Markt und die High-Fashion-Märkte, die ja auch in Städten wie Paris, Mailand und London stattfinden. Und ich finde es einfach grundsätzlich immer spannend, mit verschiedenen Menschen zu sprechen. Gerne auch mit Menschen, die andere Meinungen haben als ich. Denn so entsteht ja erst ein spannendes Gespräch. Und jeder Mensch darf ja auch seine eigenen Meinungen und Denkweisen haben. Das finde ich toll, das begrüße ich. Und von daher wünsche ich dir jetzt ganz, ganz, ganz viel Spaß mit der Podcast-Folge. Und ich bin gespannt, was du dazu sagst. Gerne uns das Feedback dalassen in den Kommentaren bei Spotify oder alternativ schreib uns doch gerne auf Instagram.
Greg, thank you so much for taking the time. I think it's so great because my podcast is all about modeling. But actually, I think I never had a person who is so deep into the high fashion industry as you are. So it's very exciting for my German audience, especially to hear what you have to say. So maybe could you introduce yourself? How did you become a model scout, a model booker? Why this industry? Why did you choose it?
Okay, hi, my name is Greg Chan. I'm a New York City model agent. I've been a model agent for 28 years. I've been director and senior manager at agencies like IMG Models, Wilhelmina Models, DNA Models, Soul Artist Management, Next. And I've managed men, women, and celebrity. And, you know, this is a job that I love because people don't know about it. People don't know it exists. And so it's like, and I always wanted something that wasn't predictable. But I didn't know what that was, what I was going to find in my life. But, you know, it found me. And I mean, what are the chances? So, you know, I met someone that trained my eye to look for girls. And it's just like, it was so fascinating, just the idea of doing something that no one really knew existed. Mm-hmm. So it was really, for me, a perfect fit.
So you're in the modeling industry for kind of forever. So you saw the models back then, the typical, let's say, top models. Do you think we still have them? Like the top models, like back in the 90s and early 2000s?
I do. I do think we still have them. The problem is the volume is so high. There's so many models that were, even the best people in the business that usually know every face, mm-hmm. are having a hard time catching up because there's so many new faces each season. And so what happens is when you have new faces coming so fast, you can't build careers. And you can't take time to see who's really powerful. And that's a shame because if you can slow down enough to build a powerful model, then there's more money for everyone. And it's more excitement. There's more fame. There's more of a story. And so I think that's the biggest thing. I think there are great models today, but perhaps they're just, so many people are getting lost in the cracks.
Mm-hmm, I get it. So When you see a model, what makes a good model for you? A model, is it the look? Is it about earning money? Because I remember that Heidi Klum, she's also from Germany, as you probably know, and she said once, a model is a model when she earns money with modeling, and when a model doesn't earn anything, then she is not a real model. What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, I think that's a great question because I do agree in most cases that they aren't until they're signed and make money. But that being said, with me having the ability to really build a model and understand how to put together a model, because like some people might think they know how to put together a model, but on a New York level, like it's incredible. Like, you know, these agents, these new face development agents are so skilled. They put these models together like a Russian ballerina, you know, and it's beautiful, you know, so I take so much pride in that. So if I can do that, I see that as a model because I know they're ready for the big leagues. Mm-hmm. But that being said, I would agree with what most people say.
So you would say a model has to have a specific look, especially when it comes to the high fashion industry. We are going to talk about the commercial modeling industry just quickly. But what is your opinion when you see like a new face? What is the look she needs to have nowadays to be a successful high fashion model?
Yeah, it's tough because it's like you really have to have a face that no one has seen. Mm-hmm. I mean, there people are looking for unicorns, and it's like it might sound kind of crazy, but at the New York level, they're looking for unicorns. Each person, it's like literally building a mural and thinking about all the pieces that are going to go in that mural. And so it's like you're looking for extraordinary faces. And so it's like you could find someone that looks just like Kendall Jenner, but she's not Kendall Jenner, so she could, even though she's just as pretty, she won't necessarily do as well, you know? Because so people are looking for a look that hasn't been seen before. That's hard because with billions of people in the history of our humankind, you know, it seems like at a certain point we're just regurgitating faces, but that is what agents are looking for. They're looking for something different. Mm-hmm. And it's never just the face. It's the way everything comes together in a perfect storm.
So how important is the personality then? Because we know for commercial models, I also do some stuff in the commercial industry, in the beauty industry especially. But for me, I know that my personality is so important. I know that I get jobs, not because I have full lips, because there are a lot of models who has full lips or because I have curls or anything. I know that my personality is a big part as well. What do you think with a high fashion girl when, for example, she has the perfect look, she has the perfect height, she has the perfect measurements, but the personality is not there? Is it bad or it doesn't matter at all?
Well, I mean, So if you've got the looks and everything, but you don't have the personality, ultimately, I mean, in a place like Paris, actually, it's fine because Parisians don't give a shit if you're talking or not. They want a beautiful, poised product that walks in the door flawless and looks just insane. Mm-hmm. In New York and America, we are more reliant on personality because that's what we're all about. Hollywood, we're all about personality in America. So it's really important and everything. It's like if we're going to build stars, we want someone that's charismatic, that's personable. So as much as you might not need that in Paris, I would argue that that's not good enough today. And so how are you going to set yourself apart if you are beautiful but have nothing to say? That is asking to do one season and be over. And it's also asking to be replaced by robots, in my opinion. So I truly believe that a model to succeed today has to have it all, because at the end of the day, because American is so influential over the rest of the world, hands down, is that like this whole social media thing, which is crazy because it's all bullshit, but it's like it's based on followers and everything. And if a business feels that a percentage of your followers will buy their product, that's business. Mm-hmm. That's marketing, and that's all powerful. And so that's why you have to have a presence. You have to show why you're worth more than just being a face on a cover. You have to, if you have a presence and you're on your path to building a brand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true. Also, I talked to a model agent and he told me there's a very fine line between, because many brands, especially the high class brands, want to have like those unicorns you speak of and the models who haven't been seen before. So it can't be someone with a huge engagement or something. He said that the best models he places at shows are the ones that don't really have a big following in the high fashion industry when they start off. And then once they started off, they build their following as well. But first, they want to have this new kind of look you never saw before, not millions of followers and stuff. How do you think about it? Maybe you have a different opinion because he's from the Europe market and you're from the market here.
Yeah, I do. I mean, it's like, I think that like there's absolutely 100% an allure for someone, for a casting director to pick someone that no one has seen before, that no one knows of. Absolutely 100%. But then you look at Alex Kansani, who brought millions of followers from TikTok to straight to the business. And so not only was she, like she called herself a real bitch, you know, it's like she's a, you know, it's like not only is that, she's got presence, but at the same time, she brought so many followers to fashion that, I mean, no, I'm not going to say that. Yes, but like Alex, you know, she brought, so that's just business. Brands want people, they want a percentage of your followers to buy their product. That's what they're hoping for. Yeah.
Okay, so the ultimate goal should be for every model to have an engagement at some point anyways.
I believe so, because that's what it's all about in America, and we have such an influence on the rest of the world. And I love how Paris kind of like does their own thing, because they're kind of like their own, they're snobs, you know. I love it. I love that. But ultimately, we do dictate how it's going to be. I remember the days when social media was just starting and all the European agencies would call me like, we don't care about social media over here. And they're like really proud. But look at everyone now. Everyone's trying to like get followers. Yeah. And so it's just eventually it's like our influence is very powerful.
So you would say the US market is more important than the Paris market or Milan, for example, because I'm from Germany. We are in our own Europe bubble. So for models in Germany who want to go big, they want to go to Paris, they want to go to Milan for sure. Is this market there more important, or would you say you need to be successful as a high fashion model in every three markets?
No, I think the Paris market right now is the most important market in the world right now. This is where stars are really being created right now. This is where the big work is really being taken. They've really stolen away from us in New York. And they, you know, under our noses, you know, it's very, very powerful there. And I think I'm certain that I'm not the only one that thinks this. You know, we know that New York isn't as happening as it used to be. Paris is where everyone's gone right now. So you have to respect it. But that being said, we Americans, because we Americans were greedy people, we're all about money here. You know, we're all about capitalism. And so that's why we will dictate everything, because at the end of the day, it's all about money and money's power. So you watch New York Fashion Week, it's pretty boring, everything, because we're all about selling clothes, not about the art.
Yeah.
And that's the shame. But at the same time, like, there's also respect there, because people are like, yo, America's, you know, Americans are all about making money.
Yeah.
Paris is about the art, everything. And so there are two different things, but I would say that Paris is the most important market right now.
Is it possible for models to earn a lot of money in Paris or Milan or at New York Fashion Week? What would you say? Because there are so many different opinions. I've talked to models who said, well, I did Fashion Week, I did great, and I went home with a lot of money. And then you speak to some others and they say, well, yeah, I got 500 for a show, or I got 100, or I got nothing. So would you say, or what? When would you say is the point of the career where you can earn a lot of money with high fashion shows?
Yeah. Only if you're in that top 10%. You're like the Hailey Biebers or the or the Bella Hadids and everything. Are you going to be getting like crazy rates for shows and stuff like that? But everyone else is getting 500, 200, 1,000. You're stoked if you get 1,000, you know? And so it's really hard, because in the 90s, you could make six figures just on doing a show week.
Yeah.
And that's a completely different animal. In the end of the day, it's sort of like today, it's so hard to make money during a fashion week. Most people leave out of debt. It's really just exposure to try and get yourself to campaign season.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really unfortunate. That's really unfortunate. I remember in the old days, I would go by the Italian agencies, say goodbye after I'd been there for a week. And all the agents would have all these like Fendi bags and Chanel bags and Prada bags stacked on their desk, because their models were all buying these bags for them, because that's how much money they were making. And the agents just cleaned up every season. It was incredible and everything. It was also great culture to see that the models were making money. They're sharing it with their agents, stuff like that. It was a great thing. This doesn't even exist. No one talks about this at all anymore, because there's not enough money in the business.
Would you say this is for the high fashion industry, or would you also say that's for the commercial industry?
In what respect?
Like, for example, my feeling is not that there are too many models, and I also don't feel that there's less money in the commercial industry. Uh-huh. So for me, I'm impressed what inquiries I get and how big the budget is for, like a commercial for, I don't know, a random brand. So, and when I talk to high fashion girls, it's always, it's so hard for them often to get the big campaigns, while for a commercial model, it's the daily business. So what would you say?
Yeah, I mean, the great thing is catalog stuff, commercial stuff needs to keep coming in. They keep needing to be shooting. So that's a great thing. You have to, like, if you're a model and you've got a, like, 10 years ago, if I asked a model what they wanted more than anything, they'd probably say a Gucci campaign. Mm-hmm. But today, every single model wants an e-com client because that's paying the bills.
Yeah.
That's reliable money. And so, wow, you know, that's changed now. So if you've got one, a repeat client, you got to hold on to that like grim death because you don't want anyone to, you can't be sick. You don't want anyone to sneak in and take that and like take over your spot. You know, so it's like, you can still make good, really good money, but again, these clients, when they know they have so many choices, they know they have the leverage, and so they can lower the rates. Mm. So these are all problems, I think, you know, and the only real way we can build these rates back up is if, one, people believe in careers, or two, we have like an ice age where we wipe out 90% of the models and everything, and then suddenly like there's 20% left or 10% left that are actually powerful people. They have something to say, messages, all these kind of things.
Yeah. I feel like the rates are going down as well because there are some models, maybe also models who are not going to do it professional. They're maybe more on the hobby model side, which is fine. But they accept jobs for like 100, 200, 300 euros.
Oh my God.
While you could get like 3,000 for the same job. But as they don't know nothing about buyouts, they don't know about the daily rates, they just accept it and they're fine with it. I think that is a huge problem because for me, I talk to great models, but I feel the great models is only a handful, kind of. But the models who are not really great, who are not professional, who don't really know the business, there are a lot of them. And they just accept.
Absolutely. It's a problem, everything. There's all these apps now where you can, like, you know, models can go directly to the client.
Mm-hmm.
And they think that they're all like, yeah, you know, F you agents. But it's like, in the end, they're the one getting screwed because they're not being protected.
Yeah.
I'm so pro-agent and everything because it's like, it comes down to usage. It comes down to where you're going to see that image, how long and everything. And the fact that they're getting such low rates, it's killing it for everyone else. So it's like, you know, again, it's just, you know, I get a lot of people try and villainize me by saying, you know, my expectations are so high and everything. But I respect the beauty of the highest level, the highest echelon, because again, this is like a sport, you know, this is like, you know, it's like, you know, it's like the Olympics. It's like looking at like Russian gymnasts,
yeah.
You know, how the level of perfection and everything. So sure, there's lots of jobs for freelance models and everything, but I think it's really got to be tough because that they can really pollute the rates.
Yeah, if you don't know nothing about it, that's really hard. At the same time, I always see some agents who are not pushing as well, who doesn't care at all, who just never give the models work. So, you know, there's always two sides. So from my model opinion, I totally get you that you are 100% pro agent, but I always feel like if an agent doesn't give anything for you and they're just like, well, you're in our roster, but we don't really push you out to clients and you don't get work, it's better to get freelance work when you know how to handle the rates and stuff. If not, then probably don't do it because you destroy the industry.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, and it's a shame, you know, when you have an agency, you're signed to an agency and like they're not even putting any effort to get you work and everything. That's a real shame because you can't go anywhere else, you know?
Yeah. Would you say that commercial models are models as well? Because there are also some discussions about like the only real models are high fashion models and commercial models are not real models. They're more like on the maybe acting side or stuff. What do you think about it?
Oh, that is so disappointing to hear that people think that, because absolutely commercial models are models and everything. It's a huge, huge business. Again, being American, it's all about money and money's power. There's a lot of money being generated on that. And they have skill sets, they have personalities. They have like all sorts of things. So they're 100% models. You know, it's like I have a lot of respect for commercial models because, again, it's like it also takes a skill set.
Yeah.
You know, and I respect the skill set of being a real model. You know, if you're just some guy who's good looking, has nothing to say, and it's like, what do I do with my hands? That's not valuable to me. I'm not. Why would I pay $7,500 for a day for that?
Yeah.
You know, so it's like I always say to my clients, I ask a model agent, it's like at the end of the day, like I told a guy today and everything, I said, he's a handsome guy. So as a handsome guy, you got to have a six pack. You've got to have a six pack, because if you're sitting there with 20 other guys that look like you in this casting room and everyone has six pack but you, guess who's going home first?
Yeah.
You know, you are. So, and then the day it comes down to the competition.
So you would say like the commercial models aren't worse than the high fashion models. Why did you choose the high fashion industry? Was it just by accident or you decided you want to be in the high fashion industry?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's sort of like I believe in the fantasy, you know. I probably have a great imagination and like I believe in the fantasy. I believe in the unicorns, you know. So it's like, you know, it's such a kind of like, it's kind of snobby, but it's like it's such a the high path of going to going after the unicorns is exciting and everything. The people that are going to be in the faces all over the world, the people that are going to be in the billboards that people get influenced by, get recognized, you know, it's exciting. So yeah, it's all, you know, I'm not going to lie. It's like commercial models always will tend to have the reputation being a little more boring, you know, less exciting and everything, because it's not as prestigious. It's not as like all the crazy poses and all these and the beautiful lighting and all the incredible photographers, you know. So for me, it really came down to just the art of it. I fell in love with art, fashion photography, you know, photography, the way an image speaks to me is just so important to me and everything. So that's really, I think it was just the fantasy that led me there more so. But at the same time, like if you had put me to run a board full of quarterbacks, oh my God, I would be like dying. I would probably be like, I need a barf bag next to my desk. But so, you know, it comes down to inspiration, I think.
Yeah, you know? I get it. The world is so, like, many models want to be high fashion models because it's so glamorous. It looks glamorous and it looks like the fantasy and the 90s top models and stuff. But at the same time, I think it's so important to have both because not every brand needs a, like, Kendall Jenner or Naomi Campbell because it's not so reliable, like someone you see on the street daily. So it's so important to have both, I guess.
Yeah, I talk to my commercial models all the time about, like, your power is not going to be that hard stare. It's going to be relatability. Yeah. I'm just like you, you know, aspirational. When people connect with you, whether it's they want to be you, whether they look up to you, whether they connect with you, whether they think, oh, I could hang out with that person, that's what actually gets a person closer to buying a product. Not this person staring all hard at me and everything and with oil all over their bodies or whatever. And so I think about myself as a consumer. What speaks to me? I love the fantasy. I do and everything. But at the end of the day, that's just a small part of the business.
Yeah, it's so true. What do you say is the most tough market, the toughest one? Is it New York? Because also from a Euro perspective, you need the O-1 visa as a model, which is very hard to get. You have to pay money for it. So it's not like, maybe some agents, when they see the next top model, they pay it for you or they cover it up front. Yeah. But in general, it's a hard way to get the O-1 visa. Would you say still the, for example, New York market is the toughest one? Or is it the Paris market? Or is it the Milan market?
I think it's Paris because it's so stringent. They're looking for very, very specific bodies you kind of have to be born with. And you also have to like really grit through it because you lose so much money to taxes in Paris, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's
true. You lose so much and everything. So it's a really like models don't like going to Paris. As simple as that and everything. Yeah. But it's the place where you can actually break through. You can actually, stars are created right now. Where New York, you're right. That was the first thing that came into my head was the O-1 visa, which is such an investment. Yeah. You have to work so hard to get all the tear sheets and then the money and the agency sponsor to get there. And then after that, you're like, you enter New York $10,000 in debt and you have to make that and more plus more to start even just breaking even. So it's really hard. And again, but there's the upside of New York is so powerful because there's so much money in New York.
Yeah.
But that being said, there's more models than ever in New York City.
Yeah. I love New York as well. And for me, it was so important to get the O-1 visa just because, in my opinion, for me, it's easy to work in, for example, like France or in general, I can work everywhere in Europe. Mm-hmm. So I don't really need a visa or stuff, except for Great Britain, you need a visa for one. But for New York, it's such a high level because I know that only a tiny little bit of models get the chance to get the O-1 visa. And I know that it's so hard to get. And that was the point for me to say, I really want to be in New York and I want to reach that goal. Mm. But it's so interesting that you say you think the Paris market is harder to get, maybe also for the US models to get there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's just because it's like on the high end of models, it is so that's where the really cream stars are very, very picky on what they're looking for. They're looking for very specific body types, very specific faces. It's very, very specific, you know, where, But as far as the commercial market in Paris, I'm not as versed on that. But I think if you're a high fashion model, Paris is the place. Everything. Mm-hmm. But that being said, you know, I totally understand New York could be because it's such a mountain.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Would you say nowadays when you want to be a successful high fashion model, you have to be even more skinny than you needed to be back in the days? Because I saw some inquiries from Paris designer who were like, well, your measurements needs to be like on the waist and hips. It can't be bigger than on the hips. 36 centimeters. So it's even below 90 centimeters, which...
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy for me.
It's like 86 centimeters for...
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's insane. And I told, like, I had a girl that agent that I'm mentoring that, you know, she was like, because she's like, I know this girl needs to work on her hips. Do you think she should get 34 or 33? And I'm like, well, does she have a choice to get 33? Because 34 is fucking hard, you know? So it's sort of like... So, I mean, if she can get 33 easy, yeah, great. But the problem is, it's like 5'10.5", 30, that's really, really hard. 34 inches is hard. So let's just kind of like, you know, see if she can get down from 37 right now first, you know, before we do anything. But 30, as far as 36 centimeters, that's not, I can't see anyone 36 inch getting welcomed in Paris. You've got to be 34. And it's just, it's really skinny. So when you go back to the question, do they have to be more skinny than ever? Yes. That has not gone away. I mean, you've seen the disappearance of the plus size girls on the runway.
Yeah.
The skinny girls will always come back because they are a human hanger. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and it might sound like an ugly word and everything, but to an artist, to a designer who wants to make their piece magnificent, to want their image, their creation to be on display to their whole world to look like it's from the gods, they want a hanger.
Yeah.
And so it's like it all comes down to business and legacy and all these kind of things. We're all ego-driven and selfish in our many ways. But at the same time, as much as it may not be functional or speak to the masses, people do want to live forever. They want to like be able to like create that legacy that lives forever, create a piece that lives forever.
Mm.
You know, so it's all about them and everything, whether it's the artist's ego or it's money or whatever.
Yeah. But I think it's so sad because, to be very honest, I can't really think about one model that I know personally that has the height and is able to get these measurements. Because sometimes your hips are just like your hips are. You need to break your bones to get those measurements. So, and there are some girls, for example, from Ethiopia or some countries, they maybe get it naturally. But I think it's so rare to have a person have these measurements naturally without getting into eating disorder or something.
100%. It's an absolute bloodbath trying to like get those measurements. So it's sort of like they are unreasonable measurements, but at the same time, the artists don't give a shit.
Yeah.
They're just they're thinking about their creation, their lore, their legend, you know. And so, but it is very hard and everything. So at the end of the day, what I'm seeing is because these measurements are so unrealistic, it really does come down to, are you born with that body or not?
Yeah,
you know,
that's
it's
true.
Like so many girls, because so many girls, they kill themselves every day to keep maintain those. And that's not living.
No.
You know, so it's like a certain point, if it's going to have to stay there at that measurement, then it's like, again, I'm just going to suggest that like, let's cancel like, you know, 80%, 90% of them and just keep the people that are born with it in a certain thing. And just because like, you know, it's like if we want to make sure it's powerful, let's make it powerful. But that being said, if you can't change the measurements, because there's always going to be people going back that skinny.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. Whether it's right or wrong, I don't have any judgment or anything, but it's just like that's it seems like it's not giving in any way.
Yeah. Why do you think that the industry got back to those? Because look, when we look at the high fashion girls, of course you had some high fashion girls like Kate Moss. She was, I would say, naturally very skinny, but she was quite short as well for a high fashion girl. Back then, when you look at some of the high fashion models, they weren't that skinny as they are today back in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think we have this kind of movement going back to skinnier and skinnier and skinnier and not going maybe to just a not normal shape, I don't want to judge on anybody, but to a more natural shape, let's say.
Yeah, and especially in this sort of era, which is called like, you know, inclusivity. You know, it's like we've totally erased it and everything. It's like, you know, what happened to inclusivity? That was like a really happening thing. But now it's like back to skinny, you know, which is really, really tough and everything. But I mean, fuck, you know, in the end, it's like, what the world could use, and I don't know if this is even possible, is, you know, is a designer to come out of nowhere to show that they can make clothes look incredible on a regular size body.
Mm-hmm.
But one, is that going to really happen? And two, if it does, that'll be incredible for the world. That'd be a true achievement.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I don't think it'll ever stop the artists from going skinny, because these people that are at the highest level in Milan, in Paris, they are artists,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so they're creating something that drapes, you know, a certain way. And so until someone changes the culture to say, you can look, you know, look at this, how this person looks who's a size 8 or 8 to 10, no one's going to believe it, because they're going to just look down. Like, what was that Karl Lagerfeld quote, something like, you know, once you start wearing sweatpants, you've given up on yourself or something like that. It's genius.
Yeah.
It's so funny and everything, but it's just like, he's condescending towards the normal people. An
yeah.
artist who wants their image to look like it was built by the gods for goddesses doesn't care about the 8 to 10 size women, which is so many women.
Yeah.
You know, but you have to kind of understand that sort of like ego that... that, you know, is where it comes from.
So you say the curvy movement was just a short movement, and it's probably always going back to having skinny models on the runway and not really diversity. Like when people ask me, do we have diversity in the model industry? Of course we have, but not in the high fashion industry. The high fashion industry kind of never, in my opinion, had diversity, because just why you let, maybe you see one or two like curvy girls walking the runway, but that's not diversity for me. It's just a curvy girl to have a curvy girl, you know?
Yeah.
So do you think we ever get diversity on the runway in the high fashion world?
As far as size diversity?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Look, who's walking the runways right now besides maybe Paloma, you know? It's like, and that's probably in America, because the Americans understand there's lots of money to be made off plus size clothing, because Americans are, you know, are such a wide range of sizes. And So I think it's really hard, you know. It's like I don't want to sound pessimistic, you know, and I do like it would be great to see the business. I do feel I'm not a designer, but it's like I do feel like we could build a lot of beautiful bodies off like a Cindy Crawford model, you know. It's like beautiful and everything, and not necessarily that waifish and everything, but at the same time, I also respect a type of certain body that walks into the room, which is just like, a demon, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I do respect that too, but I don't know, you know. It's like I think that like it's going to be up to the brands like the Fentys and everything, and you know, and the VS and stuff like that, and even like what MJ Day is doing at Sports Illustrated by, you know, continuing to push women, real women on their bodies. You know, I think that's going to be really important. But there's not a lot of people like them, you know. So we have to continue pushing that, because you have to sway the masses to the other side to say, this is the change your mind. You know, it's like, it's just like, you know, politics, you know, it's like, wow, you know, it's like, oh, I'm not going to talk about politics, but it's sort of like you might hate someone, but if that person's getting work done, people start switching over, you know? And
So let's see how the industry changes, or maybe not in the high fashion direction. What would you say can a model who has the measurements, who has the body, who probably has the face as well, do to stand out from the crowd and be a successful high fashion model nowadays or next year or in the next 5 years?
What can they do to stand out if they've got the face, the body,
yep.
all that kind of stuff? So the first thing that I would suggest is you better start really thinking about who you are and what you want to telegraph to the world about yourself, why you're someone that's interesting, why you're different, why you're going to be remembered, why you will get chosen over the other girls that look just like you. So it's really important to, and that's what a lot of young girls, young models aren't equipped to think like that,
yeah.
you know? So they need guidance, everything. They need their agents to be able to sit and talk to them about that, about their presence, because that is going to be, that's the only thing, presence and personality, there's only things that are going to make you stand apart to actually really, do you excite people, you know? Are you inspiring? Are you mysterious? Are you dangerous? Remember, we love people. I mean, think about like the Gias of the world and everything, the 90s and everything. It's like danger is very alluring and everything. And so, but that's the thing. It's like we as agents, we don't want to create monsters, because that's hell for our lives. But the problem is the world will always love dangerous characters.
Yeah.
You know, controversial characters. And so It's something that's very hard to, because it's like, I want to mold all my models to be good people because I don't want anyone breaking my balls. But at the same time, it's sort of like, but do good people excite? That's a conflict.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could be. Yeah.
You know?
What do you think is the industry, when we talk about high fashion, going to look in 2026, 2027?
I don't know. I mean, at that point, it's like AI is going to be in full swing. You know, I think the only thing I can think of is I hope there's like a model ice age where it's like a wipes. I can't believe I'm saying this. I've wiped out like a big population, and it leaves the people that are not only beautiful and have great measurements and have, but they've got presence, mm-hmm. and they've got power, and they have messages, and they have the things to say, and they're using their platform to do good. It's like we're really, that's what I'm trying to do with my nonprofit, the Supermodel Project, where we're trying, our core mission is to support models' mental health. And we do, there's so many great agents in New York City and the world that do such a great job at building models and selling them and promoting them. But I don't think there were enough of us are actually stopping to help build up their minds instead, mm-hmm. help them feel powerful and be beautiful and understand what weapons they have. And I think if we can do that and we can really teach these girls how to be leaders instead of being jealous of their beauty, I think that we can actually redefine the word supermodel. Mm-hmm. You know, we can really create leaders out of these women. I think that could be really fucking powerful. Might sound like a pipe dream, but I mean, it's like there's nothing wrong with trying.
Yeah, it's a good idea. And it's so important to have a good mental health with modeling, because I feel like when you don't have a good mental health, when you're not self-confident at all, this industry could destroy you. That's what I always say to aspiring models. If you're not self-confident, you have so many different opinions. So I heard so many things on my height, on my look, and some love my look, some hate my look. You know, when you don't know who you are, this industry is a tough one.
Yeah. Everyone needs someone to talk to and everything. It's like you could wake up beautiful, feeling beautiful, and be like, oh man, I got my shits on. And then you get to the casting and you look at 100 girls, more beautiful than you are, more skinnier than you are, younger than you are. And suddenly your confidence is derailed just like that, you know? And it's really, you know, it's like, again, you know, with our, you know, with what we did in past Fashion Week with the Supermodel Project, we did this model suite to create resources for these kids so they had a place to relax, have sponsored juices, teas, get guided meditations. We wanted to program them for success before the casting start to eliminate that fear from their minds. And
that's
everything.
So good.
And that's not something that a 19-year-old, 20-year-old girl thinks to be like, oh, Fashion Week's coming, I'm going to get reprogrammed. You know, it's like, but I want to change that culture. It's like, no, we'll give it to you for free.
Yeah. That's such a nice thing. Last question. What is your master tip for high fashion girls? We're not really talking about commercial girls, mm-hmm. because that's your field of the modeling industry. Uh-huh. What is your master tip nowadays?
Yeah, it's to figure out who you are and to scream it the fuck out loud. That's what my tip is. You know, I think there's still a lot of agents that are like, you know, they want models to shut up and not talk and everything, but I don't give a shit. Like, I think that you've got to be, this is the only way is to be more human than ever, become more human than ever. So I say, like, start speaking up, everything. It doesn't have to be like controversial and everything, but speak your mind, everything. Think about who you are, what you want to talk about. And I think presence is everything. And again, the Parisians might not care, but like, but we do. And I think that we can actually, you know, the thing about America and sadly the Kardashians gave this to us is that in the end, success is all about being noticed today.
Mm-hmm.
And that's unfortunate. It's shallow. That's why social media exists. But it's true. The Kardashians brought it. And that's the way we run our businesses today.
Yeah.
You know, my business wouldn't be where it is without social media. And I just, so as much as I like might not like social media, it's everything with that. So you have to be noticed.
Yeah.
You can't just be sit in the corner. So I think you have to really have that conversation with yourself. How am I going to make an impression? How am I going to excite? Because we forget. We're like, think, oh, well, I'm beautiful. Everyone's told me I'm beautiful. Now I'm signed to a model agency. So I guess when's the money going to start coming in? But we forget to think, how am I going to inspire?
Yeah.
Why would people pick me? And I think, you know, on the model's end, they can start, if they start asking that question, I think they're on the right track to something pretty cool.
That's a great advice. Where can people follow your journey as well and get some tips? What's your Instagram? So we can link it also in our podcast bio.
Yeah, amazing. Thank you. So most people know me through Ask a Model Agent. So it's on Instagram and TikTok. At Ask a Model Agent. That's my biggest brand. Our nonprofit is called the Supermodel Project, at the Supermodel Project Official. I also have themotheragents.com, which is a website where we unify all the best proven legitimate mother agents, managers, scouts around the world. So kids can find legitimate management easier. That's at themotheragents. I know I have so many platforms, I'm sorry. And then finally my personal, which seems like a lot of people, like I thought most of the models would follow Ask a Model Agent, but a lot of people are following me on my personal, which is at Greg Chan Manager.
Great. Greg, thank you so much for your time. Very interesting podcast episode. And yeah, good luck on all your products in the future.
Awesome. Thanks, Miriam. Thanks for having me.